For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in.
Tune in. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to Birdland.
You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland.
Birdland.
Now, here come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans all ages, welcome to Section 336, next generation of Baltimore sports talk. I am your endearingly centered host, Matt Soroka. As always, I'm joined by the button lover, Josh Soroka.
Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Oh, good. Things are good. Things are good. I'm excited for, once we get to February, I feel like baseball's around the corner. So just wait until February.
We're almost there. We're less than a month to pitchers and catchers.
Yeah, and, it was a fun week of all the top prospects being released, so we'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah, and at the moment, you and I are doing better than the Zany one.
Yeah, unfortunate turn of events for the Zany one.
So, Zany one will be coming on in the future with a story time that he says is a pretty embarrassing story.
Yeah.
So, he had a little roller skating incident this weekend, so he's in surgery as we
There's nothing little about the incident. Yeah.
No, he said the story is more embarrassing when I was texting with him this morning.
Okay.
So I told him, just don't even tell me yet. We'll get you on the show.
Okay. Well, it ends up in the hospital having surgery, so it's painful.
Right,
it might be embarrassing, but it's painful. And
did you see the photo of his of him?
Of the angle?
Where they had to cut the pants off him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
so it didn't go
nasty,
well.
Nasty skating injury.
Right,
but yeah, we'll have to talk about that.
Yeah, we'll have. I was hoping to get him in this week. It's his birthday week.
Yeah,
so I was hoping to get him in
get
here.
Some Ravens talk, Orioles talk. Sure, yeah.
But he is, I'm sure, not with us at the moment. Well, he's still alive, just like not available. He's in surgery.
Yeah, he's knocked out. So we wish us, wish the best. Wish whatever. No,
right.
We wish the
prayers,
best for first.
Right.
And a speedy recovery.
Right. Think he'll be limping on opening day?
Yeah, I don't know. Can we get a handicap sticker and get some better parking?
I mean, it's kind of like, yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of like Super Bowl when we had to travel around with Dad and his leg in a cast.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
We're going to have to do the same with the Zany one.
Yeah.
We're going to have to maneuver him around, use that elevator.
Bitter kerfuffle through the airport. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Might cause some issues.
Yeah.
So. How's your week been?
Better than Bert's. No, it's been fine. It's been good.
Did I tell you?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Did I tell you last week that I agreed to head coach Little League?
Yeah. I got an did. Email this week calling for coaches. I didn't respond to the email. But you did.
I sent
good
my,
for you.
So last week I had my 9U draft.
Right.
Which I couldn't believe we were really doing.
Picking names out of a hat.
A bunch of grown men. Drafting players based on names.
For the
no
record,
other stats I know about these people, but names.
For the record, the Orioles, in the international draft or international signing,
it's very similar.
Similar age group that they're shooting after.
But I hope that Mike Elias takes a different technique than my strategy for drawing names.
Do you? Are you building a $1 million compound for them to come work out so you can kind of see him?
I no, I did not invest, and I am going with the Oriole Way, though. We will follow the Oriole Way. We are the St. Augustine or whatever league we're in. Orioles.
Okay.
We are the Orioles.
Okay.
So that's good. I got that. I got my way there. But no, my strategy for drafting 9-year-olds.
Yeah.
Really, and I had two rules. I was not going to draft two players of the same name.
Sure.
So I wasn't going to have Ryan 1 and Ryan 2.
Right.
Or Josh and Josh S. Not right. doing that stuff. Not on my team. Rule number two, I was choosing names that I could pronounce. So if you had a tough name, maybe I'll let someone else draft you.
That may be racist. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that.
I don't think it's racist.
It could be.
It's, we all know that I am bad at pronouncing names.
Yeah, specifically non-American and names.
No. Have you seen the, what people are naming their kids now? It doesn't matter what race. Okay. They're all complicated.
Okay.
So I went with names that I can pronounce. That was my strategy because I had no information about the kids. I didn't know how many years they've played. I don't know what positions they play. I don't know their skill level. So all I have to go off of is names.
All right. And so, you did it? You drafted a bunch of guys?
I drafted my players.
Yeah.
I sent a nice email out to all the parents.
Okay.
And I created the group app where all the parents can talk.
You get any responses?
And oh yeah, yeah.
Were there any sibling pairs? Like, did you look for last names and try to get a pair in there?
I have no pairs. I did draft two girls.
Oh, good. Very progressive.
There's only two girls in the league. I took them both.
Did they have names like Chris and you're like, you didn't realize they were girls and you drafted like, oh.
No.
Okay.
No.
It was intentional drafting of girls.
It was intentional draft pick that I wanted some girls.
You're very progressive, Josh.
Intentional.
You won't draft people certain names, but you'll draft females.
That's strategy. Right. It's because it's not a racism issue. It's a, I know my limits.
Yeah,
I know what I can
sure.
speak and not be embarrassed.
Sure.
So anyway, I type up this nice draft is on Thursday. Friday night, I type up this nice email saying, hey, a week from tomorrow.
You didn't call them like they do in the NFL? They weren't sitting on the couch waiting with their family and you give them a big call and they jump up and down excited?
No.
I guess it wasn't.
No. Maybe next time. I type up a nice email. I introduce myself. I say, hey, I get to coach. I'm so excited to coach your 9-year-old. Hey, we get to be the Orioles. I fell in love with baseball because of the Orioles season when I was 9 years old. That 1989 Why Not season.
Right, it's a great year to be a baseball fan.
Right. I just say, hey,
great age,
9-year-old is when I fell in love with baseball. I can't wait to coach your kids.
I prefer to be 9 years old right now.
I got a text message and an email from two different parents.
Okay.
Wanting their kid off my team.
Oh, no.
Yeah. My whole resistance to doing this was because of parents. And I had one.
Because they want to be email. With one of their friends, probably, right?
Well, one email was, sorry, we have decided that our son will not be playing baseball this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, is that because of me? Like, that was my impression because I wrote in the email that, hey, it's 9 years old and I just want baseball to be fun.
Yeah.
Did they then to say, hey, we're not playing?
Yeah.
And the other one was a text message of, hey, I want him to be on this team with this other person. He wants to be on his old team.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot. So
I lost two kids. I got another kid given to me today off the wait list, and I'm gonna get another kid off the wait list tomorrow. I'll still be back to 11 teams, but I got to get some off the waiver wire.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's been an interesting first couple of days as head coach, Josh.
Yeah. Well, maybe the first day of practice when the other coaches scream at their 9-year-old kids, and all the kids that start crying. Maybe they can get sent to you.
So I was thinking about this because the first day of practice is next Saturday. It's supposed to be Thursday, but Thursday's my birthday and I already had plans. So we're not going to practice on Thursday.
Okay, see where your
first
priorities
practice
are already.
Is Saturday.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, family. Priorities will always be family.
Oh, well, if you want to get to the top in the coaching ranks, that's not a way to do it. But do you, Josh?
Right. Oh, I also got a phone call from one dad.
Oh.
Talking to me about how spring baseball is a whole lot more serious than fall baseball.
Okay.
And I didn't know if that was like a warning shot. Like, hey, you said you want them to have fun. This is serious baseball. They're 9 years old. Or not. I was a little weird at that.
Yeah, that's weird.
So,
But he's not coaching. But that sounds like he should be a coach.
I think he's assistant, helping out as an assistant coach.
Okay.
I think I have four dads that offer to assist him.
Oh, that's great. That's great to have that.
So yeah, no, that's good. That's good. Yeah. And I'm trying to get Emma to come out and help out as well.
Okay.
So that would be good.
You guys have a coaches meeting? Are you calling a coaches meeting?
I said, no. We're going to do the first practice, and then let me judge the coaches, and then I'll, because I can only have two official assistant coaches, so it's going to be a little tryout for me at this first practice of who's going to be the official assistant coaches.
Yeah. A little word of advice. You want to pick the weakest ones to be the assistant coach, so you're not having to compete with some kind of power-tripping dude. You want to pick out the weak ones.
Like I said, my concern for going into all of this was parents. And now I realize that I'm now saying this on a podcast, and these parents are probably creeping me out and going to find this podcast.
Yeah, well,
I understand that. Don't worry.
I would probably Google my son's coach, too.
I Googled my son's last coach.
Yeah. And if you Googled your name, I don't know what comes up when you Google your name, but if like
you cannot Google my name,
one of the top five things, I would listen to a podcast that my coach is on. And this is probably right, the episode that they would find and listen to. So
yeah, that's I'm understanding that now as we talk.
Yeah, maybe you should have thought this through a little more.
All right, when you Google Josh Soroka, all right, my LinkedIn comes up, my Twitter comes up, my Instagram, my Facebook, my YouTube, something about Urban Dictionary, and then film study. Apparently we have really good bad Google SEO, because Section 336 does not come up when you Google my name.
All right, but Josh, it comes right up if you Google Josh Soroka baseball. So maybe if there
If you click on my Twitter. I'm more concerned that our website sucks. Why are we not on the front page of Google when I search my
name? I don't really care if these parents hear this. The real problem is the algorithm, the Google algorithm.
Yeah. And if you search Section 336, we don't come up we come up as a picture, but nothing, not up.
Okay, I'm going to get really mad if I Google machine, if we're just playing the Google machine now, if I Google Oro's podcast and Bird's Eye View comes up for us, I'm about to leave this whole podcast.
Let's see. If I search Matt Soroka, your Twitter comes up.
Oro's podcast, Locked in Orioles. Why do they come up first?
Because they're daily.
That ticks me off. All right, and The Verge is up there. All right, I buy The Verge.
All right, no, I always... Oh, see, I don't like the layout when you go on Google as far as our podcast. I do always check where we fall if you search Orioles into the podcast app, the Apple podcast app.
Okay.
So it's generally Locked on Orioles, On the Verge, us and Masson. And I'm okay with that layout.
Okay, yeah.
I accept that. So I'd like to get further up, but that's not up to us. That's up to the listener.
Yeah, you got to go give us 5-star reviews.
Yeah, and it's hard to compete against a daily show. But hey, I think we're going to do some type of daily stuff once the season starts.
We'll see.
Just might focus on TikTok.
Yeah.
Maybe. But anyway, I'm excited about head coaching.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear your updates.
Parents, I'm a little concerned about. So I'm like, you know, I had to address the parents in this email. I figured at the first practice, I need to talk to parents. So I was thinking, I really am emphasizing like kids having fun this year and stuff.
Right.
And I think I'm going to reuse the term the Orioles way to refer to that. Even though the Orioles way is more fundamentals and practice.
Right.
I think I'm going to use that, the Orioles way, as, hey, it's just to loosen up and have fun out there and practice.
Yeah.
Practice fundamentals. Not worry about big things. We're going to practice fundamentals at our practice and let the games play out.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing the response, because I think this could be turned into a total disaster. Josh is trying to change the culture of youth sports single-handedly at a little league in Florida.
That is my concern.
All the best, Josh, but I don't know how this is going to turn out.
That is my concern. That is my concern is
it's changed
super
so much.
Hyper parents.
Yeah, yeah. We've crossed a bridge here in sports culture among young
people. We have. Right, but that's part of why I also want to coach, is because I really think we ruined kids with sports culture.
Yeah.
With trying to make every little kid a left-hand Brian Mattis.
Yeah.
So
I just can't get my kid to hit left-handed. I want him to be a switch hitter. And he throws left.
All right.
But I can't get him to hit. He hits right.
That's fine. He can get left-handed once he gets down. Just let him hit the ball first.
Okay, well.
Come on.
If he doesn't take 10 swings from both sides of the plate, he doesn't eat dinner that night. So we have different styles. We have different styles.
All right. Yeah. Meanwhile, I went and bought a plunger today for my baseball practice on Saturday.
Oh, nice. How much time have you spent on YouTube looking at fielding ideas and fielding drills? Or TikTok? I bet TikTok has a bunch of fun. Because for TikTok, teaching, I get so many crazy fun ideas for teaching from the TikTok machine. I bet they have fun, good ideas with coaching too.
That's a great idea from TikTok. What I've been doing on YouTube is I've been watching Ripken videos. Okay. I've been watching Billy Ripken talk about coaching youth. Okay. That's what I've been doing. Because I really respect Billy Ripken. And I think what his family has done is for youth baseball. Like, I believe we're in the Ripken League or Babe Ruth League. I don't remember where the age cut off. There's certain ages that's Babe Ruth, and that goes to the Ripken League. I really am impressed with what their family did. So I've been seeing some things on there. And one of the things that Billy Ripken talked about was a game called Big Ball, where you put a plunger inside the tee, and then it's a bigger cup. So instead of a ball on there, you can put a soccer ball on there. And then you hit that, and it teaches the kids to just hit hard. Instead of the fundamentals where we always say, just make contact, make contact, make contact, here's a game where the goal is hit hard, hit hard, hit hard.
Yeah.
So we're going to do – I decided that part of it, we're going to kind of end each practice with a game of kickball, but instead of kicking the ball, you're going to hit it – or it's going to be big ball. You're going to hit it off the tee, off the plunger.
Yeah. Just make sure you explain to parents – that the goal is to work on launch angle and exit velocity. Just explain that.
No.
And that's a good
set. No, it's power.
Right. Yeah. Right. Like, exit velocity is a result of that power.
Yeah, it is exit velocity. So I see what you're saying. You're saying tell the kids, hey, hit it as hard as you can. We're having fun.
Yeah, and then tell the parents,
we're working on exit velocity today.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. Talk up to the analytics crowd.
Yeah.
So.
That's cool. But
So I'm sure I'm going to be doing updates on a Little League as much as I can without calling out the kids. I'm trying to make baseball fun again.
All right. One man on a mission against the culture of sports. I love it, Josh. Go for it.
So, got to do it. I'm ordering, you have to give game balls. So I'm ordering Oriole balls to give away as game balls. So the kids, because it's their Oriole team. So I'm trying to have fun.
All right.
So after all, that's all what baseball is. That's the whole point of why we love baseball so much is it's fun.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree, Josh. I agree. But I feel like you're Don Quixote here trying to romanticize
we'll see what happens. But I am. That may have been why I drafted two girls.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the results.
Me too. I will either be beat up by the parents or I'm starting a wave. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. But 9-year-olds, they're pitching, right? They pitch themselves?
Yes.
So you got 9-year-old pitchers and stuff?
9-year-old is the first year of pitching.
Okay.
So 8 years is the sling, 9 years is pitching. So yeah, I have to develop pitchers and teach people to throw and pitch.
Yeah.
Come on, they're 9 years old. I want them to have fun. It's really going to be, can you throw the ball across the plate? I'm not worried about a wind-up and delivery point.
What about mixing up the pitches, change-ups and sliders?
Yeah, I'm not going to be teaching any release points and spin rate.
All right, you can get Tyler Wells out there, Josh. He's close by. Can you get him out there for like a guest?
I might give Tyler a call and say, hey, can you show up and shake hands? Show the dads. Tell the dads I know everything I'm talking about.
Add some credibility. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Tell the dads. Yeah.
Yeah. They did with Silas, and we'll get off this topic and get to some Orioles promos, some real talk. they did send an email out to all the T-ball parents because my son, is 5, just starting T-ball. It's going to be his first year playing baseball. And they never used the word. I was just like, the word fun was never used in the email. But they
really?
Let me see. Fundamentals. They talk about enjoy the game. And they use the word fundamentals a lot. But they said it's going to be more focused on instructional, less on the games at the T-ball level. There'll be some games it's more focused on instructional.
Let's see. I said my goal for the season is to help kids fall in love with baseball. Baseball clicked for me at the age of 9, and I finally started to understand some of the details of the game and the Baltimore Orioles' 1989 season set a pace for a lifelong passion. Wins and losses happen, but in the end, it isn't what makes baseball fun. My goal is to be a team that has fun and supports each other. That was my little intro and setup.
Okay. Yeah, there's a line in here saying our goal is to build confidence and love with the game. So there we go.
Okay. I said fun multiple times.
All right. Speaking of fun, Josh, let's get you some Orioles promotions.
All right. I mean, hey, I've been wanting to talk about this for like 3 weeks.
I know. We've had guests on.
This was announced January 10th.
I know. Then we had Tyler Wells.
But hey, we had Tyler Wells and Mark Stevens. Great guests. If you guys are reading The Fireballer, shoot us a message. Let us know. Because I really did enjoy the book.
Yeah. Josh, we're just one step away from doing our book club idea here.
I'm almost done. I am almost done with the fairy tale.
Okay.
As I work through the F category in the library. Finished Fireball, now I'm on fairy tale.
Okay.
Going backwards. But then we can have some book talk.
All right.
All right.
Yeah. So, Josh, do you want to go through all the promos? You want to share out your favorite promos?
I mean, my favorite, you know what my favorites are. My favorites are the bobbleheads.
Right.
And I love that we finally have, what, 5 bobbleheads, I think?
So the first one is Ryan Mountcastle on May 27th. You go with Ryan Mountcastle. Is he bobblehead worthy?
Ryan Mountcastle is bobblehead worthy, yes.
Okay.
There is no one on the list that is not bobblehead worthy, by the way.
And now, I mean, I feel like everyone the first on time this in list. A while we have a list of worthy bobblehead guys. August 5th, yes. And maybe I'm skipping there, but just August 5th, I'm just scrolling. August 5th is the one I'm excited about. Eddie Murray bobblehead.
Yeah, of course. Eddie Murray, which reminds me, I still need a Boog Pal bobblehead. Someone last year needs to hook me up and send me a Boog Pal bobblehead. But yeah, Eddie Murray, classic bobblehead. It needs to go on there. Am I crazy? Or we did Jim Palmer, we did Boog Pal, and now we're doing Eddie. Where's the Cal Ripken bobblehead?
I think I would say Brooks Robinson.
No, are we going in like, is there some order that they're doing? Is there the year they go into the hall? No, because we didn't have a Frank, and Frank would have been earlier. We're missing Frank, Earl, and Cal, right?
To be honest, Josh, I didn't even know we had a Boog. So,
Boog was last year.
Okay.
I know you had a lot going on last year, yeah. But Boog was last year. But yeah, Eddie Murray, and the Eddie Murray bobblehead is classic. So, and that's on. They're doing like a 40th anniversary of the World Series, so that's what they're doing Eddie Murray then.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. One of the bobbleheads. I guess if you count this as bobblehead, the first bobblehead is actually. I didn't even count this one, but it's an Oriole. Right, the Oriole bobblehead.
The Oriole bird. And the problem with that one is it's kids only. But I don't really count that one either.
Yeah.
No. But you did skip on June 10th, the Adley Rushman bobblehead. And I like that one because it goes along with the Marvel series. We've had Manny Machado Iron Man in the past. And this is a Captain America, who is my favorite superhero, Adley Rushman. So I like that. Captain America, I like the idea of Captain America behind the plate. So I'm good with that.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I mean, I think I already have an Adley Rushman bobblehead, I think, for the minor leagues.
Yeah, right.
But
I don't have an Adley, but we've had bobblehead. But if you look at minor league bobbleheads, never look quite right.
Yeah, I know, I agree.
They're there, but they're never quite right. So an Adley Captain America bobblehead, but let's be real. We're probably going to have Adley bobbleheads every single year. He's the star.
Yeah, I don't think this would be his first.
There's going to be an Adley giveaway every year.
Josh, the other one I know you're excited for is the Felix Bautista bobblehead. We don't know what that one will look like.
It better be in a big leather jacket and a wire-inspired one.
Okay. I also heard people calling for him like on a mountain because, you know, he's sometimes called the mountain.
I could go with him on a mound, like on a mountain mound.
Yeah.
But I don't need him on a mountain. We have like the Kevin Gausman riding a dragon bobblehead, and that thing's it's cool, but it's I don't even know where it is now on my shelf. But it's just big and bulky, so I don't really need that.
Well, I don't like that either. Wasn't that the one, the Game of Thrones? We had to have a special ticket to get the bobblehead.
Yeah. And
see,
that's
I don't like that bobblehead, even though it's a cool idea. Because the whole notion you had to buy a special ticket to get it.
Yeah. Like that, this, right? They had a Stranger Things Oriole bird one, and it was cool, but I wasn't going to pay the extra. the extra ticket for it.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
I don't like it either.
But I think if they could get him up with Omar and the big leather jacket and dragging the bat, even though he's not a
he has no idea who Omar is.
Batter. No, I know he does. He has no clue.
Yeah.
But it would still look pretty good. Yeah. No matter what, when is the Felix Bautista giveaway?
It's in August. It's the end of August. August 20th.
See, that's a little bit of a gamble. Because he had such a good year last year. What is he going to look like in August of sophomore year? If he's having a sophomore slump and we get to August and it's Felix Bautista, that should have been one of the early ones.
It's a good question. I wonder how many, Josh, Oriole relievers have had their own bobblehead.
Darren O'Day had a Star Wars one. I remember that.
Okay.
Zach Britton, I'm sure, has had some.
Yeah, Zach Britton.
I
bet they're quite rare.
Yeah. No.
You don't think so?
Didn't Brian Mattis have some?
But didn't he get it maybe when he was a starter before moving to the pen?
Maybe so. Chris Tillman, I've got a Chris Tillman one over here, but he was a starter. Yeah.
I got a Hunter Harvey, but from the minors.
Yeah, but he was a starter, and it was minors. Yeah. Not many relief pitchers. I guess as a closer, it's more legitimate.
Yeah.
But anyway, I like all the bobbleheads. The problem is I'm not going to be there for, I don't think, any of those games. Really? So I'm going to need some people to mail me some stuff.
Yeah, I might try to make a trip up to the summer. Try to schedule it for an Eddie Murray bobblehead. I might try to work that out.
Yeah, I always come up the end of June. So that won't be around any of those.
Yeah. You might be able to. You would be in town for the LGBTQ Pride Night and also the Orioles
the Purple Pride
night.
Jersey? Is that the same as the? Okay,
the Pride jersey is the 24th, so I guess it's that same week.
Oh, I thought that's Purple Pride. I thought that was a Ravens shirt, a Ravens jersey. Is Purple Pride LGBTQ?
Oh, I don't know. It's in the same week as LGBTQ Pride Night. That same week, so I don't know.
Oh, see, maybe they're tricking. Maybe they don't want backlash, so they're calling it Purple Pride. I don't know.
Hey, is this the images they have on the Orioles website? Is that the actual image of the promotion? I'm looking at the Orioles on July 1st, the Orioles Hawaiian shirt. Is that the? I think that's a pretty cool Hawaiian shirt, actually. My wife hates all the Hawaiian shirts I have. She never lets me wear them. But I gotta get them now because that's the away game attire, right? Is the Hawaiian shirt is what you wear to away games.
Yeah, you're right. Now I do like the giveaway hat on June 23rd, where it's the old like 83 font. I like that.
I like that hat too. That's a good looking hat, the Orioles cap.
So I'm cool with that. But yeah, see, it's purple. No, see, Saturday's Purple Pride Night, and Wednesday is LGBTQ plus Pride Night.
Okay.
Which is a special package. So I think it's Ravens.
Okay.
I think Purple Pride means Ravens.
All right. I like to see the crossover between Orioles and Ravens.
Yeah. No, I like all that. It's better than a soccer jersey.
Yeah,
There's no soccer team to cross over with.
How do you feel about the Orioles cross body bag? And I didn't. This is the first time I've heard the cross body bag being called that.
It's a fanny pack. Is that a man purse?
It's a fanny pack.
Oh, it's a fanny pack? Yes. Why is it a cross body bag?
Because that's how Emily told me about this maybe a year ago, maybe 2 years
because
ago.
Because I know guys are that's people wear it like over your shoulder.
Yes.
Like you wear it over the shoulder.
But it's,
but why did we change the name?
Because you wear it across the body. You don't wear it over your fanny anymore. But it's the same thing. It's a fanny pack.
It's a fanny pack. Yeah. Good marketing. Someone said, hey, I got a warehouse full of fanny packs. How can we sell these? Let's put them on TikTok and say they're crossbody bags.
Yeah, I'm not wearing a fanny pack, but I'll sport a crossbody bag. Absolutely, I will.
I'll wear a fanny pack. Well,
I'm not. I'll wear a crossbody bag.
I don't know. It's black with a tiny Orioles logo. You got to do better than that for me. It's an Orioles giveaway.
What, for the crossbody bag?
Yeah, the crossbody bag. Yeah. So,
but I don't know if this is. It feels like more promotions than normal. I don't know if that's true.
It
feels like it's more than normal.
It feels like a lot of promotions.
It does.
I don't know if it's more because we also have T-shirts nights that haven't fully been announced yet, as far as what they are.
Yep, there's a bunch of T-shirts nights.
But it makes sense. I've been ranting for years on this that the Orioles need one more bobbleheads. They normally just have one. This year they have five.
Yeah.
How do you feel? They need more giveaways. I've been ranting about this for years because it brings people to the games. And we have an up-and-coming team, a really exciting team to cheer for. If you get people coming for the crossbody bag, then they might come back just because they had a good time. So I love it.
Yeah, they're always fun atmosphere games. How do you feel about the Orioles wearable flag? Is that something that – I don't know exactly what that means, a wearable flag, but is that something –
I'm assuming it's like a cape.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know.
But it's not cool to wear capes anymore either. That's kind of like the fanny pack thing.
Oh, I went – was it last weekend? Last weekend I went to Universal. Everyone in there wearing a cape.
They wear capes?
I've never seen so many grown men wearing capes.
Grown men? Not just kids?
No, it's all grown – no, the little Harry Potter land?
Yeah.
All these adults wearing capes walking around.
Like Harry Potter capes? It's, like wizard capes?
Yeah.
I didn't know Harry Potter was even still cool. I thought they were wearing superhero capes.
It's the biggest collection of nerds I've ever seen. And they're all – it's all grown adults in Harry Potter capes waving their little wands around at things in Harry Potter land. And then the rest of the park, you can walk around freely. You go to Harry Potter land and it's shoulder to shoulder with nerds waving sticks.
That's funny.
It's the weirdest thing I ever – I tried to relate. I tried to tell Kelly. I'm like, well, maybe this is just like when I go – like I wear Orioles gear all the time. But I couldn't make it work. I couldn't make the relation work. I do not understand all these nerds in Harry Potter.
Hey, I love Harry Potter. I was there the week Harry Potter Land opened. I'm not walking around. I'll get myself a glass of butterbeer if the line's not too long.
They had like five lines for butterbeer, and they were all long.
I know. When I went, we didn't go in a single store just because I'm not waiting in an hour line to walk in a store to buy stuff. I'm not doing that.
The wands are $50-$60, and every grown adult's there waving their little stick around.
Yeah. Josh, do I see the home run chain in your background somewhere?
Yeah, it's back there.
Yeah.
What's your problem?
You spending money on a stupid home
run
chain.
No, I thought about that. I tried.
There's a comparison.
I tried. Here's what I couldn't relate to. Yeah. No, I tried. Here's the problem I couldn't relate to.
Oh, you bobbleheads.
The Orioles play 162 games every year. Every day I watch an Oriole game, I don't know what the ending's like. Harry Potter has like six books and like four movies, and they haven't done a new one in like 15 years.
Okay, first of all, there's more books.
Every day these nerds are excited about this?
And there are new movies and there are new books that have come out recently.
I don't know about that.
Don't ask what they're called, but yeah, J.K. Rowling has been busy.
I don't know about that.
She's been busy.
I don't know. No. She got like, didn't she get like in trouble because she said a woman's a woman?
She got in trouble, but she's still producing books.
How can that happen? Because there were all these woke nerds waving sticks around.
In 2020, she wrote The Ichabod, which is a spinoff of something Harry Potter.
But that's not Harry Potter.
Well, it's a spinoff of the Harry Potter. It's the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Okay. All right. Fine.
Also, by the way, Josh, speaking of
nerds waving sticks,
she writes good books too outside of Harry Potter. She goes by a pseudonym called Robert Galbraith, and she writes like a detective series. That's actually really good.
Is it good? Yeah. Is there magic?
There's no magic. It's this old curmudgeon detective who is overweight and retired. And he's out there solving crimes.
What's the Harry Potter ball game?
Quidditch.
Okay. All right. I went on a bunch of rides at Universal.
Good rides.
I went on one Harry Potter. Okay. I went on a Harry Potter roller coaster.
Did you go on the other two Harry Potter rides? You're in the broom and the spider drops down?
No. No. Okay. Because it was a 3-hour wait for the nerds.
Okay.
And then the one where you're in the little motorbike was another 3-hour wait. So I didn't do that.
Yeah. But you have to.
I hated Harry Potter Land.
You have to admit. To play Quidditch, you might not agree with the whole nerd world, but you have to be an athlete to play Quidditch. You're on that broom. You have to balance yourself. It's physical. People bumping up against you on your broom.
But it's magic. Sure. Magic broom.
Sure. But you can still fall off the broom and get seriously injured.
How? You got the magic.
Well, they magically fix you together.
See? No.
But you still get hurt.
I wish the Orioles had some magic to magically fix together our pitching staff.
Do a little reparo. That's what they say.
Yeah, exactly. A little reparo. Yeah. Sure.
But yeah, any other promotions you want to talk about? I think we've I'm excited. Orioles crossover. Was there anything missing from, like, I would like a, you know, a Harry Potter Orioles Quidditch crossover, but
I nothing stood out as missing. They covered. I would like the Orioles to take a year off from the Hawaiian shirt.
Oh really?
I am getting tired of every year they got to reinvent the Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, they're running out of designs, probably.
Yeah. So I'm.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Not crazy about that. I don't know. Pfizer sunglasses, that sounds good. That sounds usable. Something to keep in your car.
No, I don't know. That's it's anti people with you know, eye problems. I can't wear those glasses. I can't. If I drove, I would get in a car accident with my bad vision. So I don't appreciate
it. Right, right. All right. So if you're wearing glasses, you can't put them over. I got it.
Yeah. They need to address that.
All right. Like I said, my only concern is that the Felix Bautista bobblehead is August 26th. That's my only concern, is that is really late, and that could be depressing.
Okay. I can't believe you would even go there. That never crossed my mind.
I like that they brought back the hoodie instead of the vest. I like that. But yeah, no, great job by the Orioles marketing team. I still think you could come up with some pun giveaways, which is fun. But really great job. Big improvement over the past couple of years.
They didn't pick
up. I just
hope
the Orioles are still here in a few years.
You're assuming. They didn't pick up on any of the trends from last year, right? Like, there's no Call of Duty stuff, there's no home run chain stuff, because maybe you don't know this year what the new stuff will be.
No. And you're right. I'm kind of surprised they aren't doing like a home run chain giveaway. But I guess they sold enough of them in the store. They're like, hopefully we can keep it going and sell more.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost wish that, because you don't know what the latest thing will be, that you had some, and because usually they don't add promos to the schedule. But
they don't.
Almost keep a blank open date in like August for whatever's, you know.
Right. But it's also like they have to order them so far ahead of time.
That's true. Or you end up with Black Brian Roberts bobblehead and it's too late to return him or something. Yeah.
No, that was a mistake. That was a manufacturing mistake, not an order mistake. And I got them over on my shelf over here.
Yeah.
So it's all good. So,
but you know what I got? I got twice. Two years ago, twice. Vouchers for bobbleheads for minor league games.
That's a huge disappointment.
And then I never go back. I never got the bobbleheads because I'm not going back there getting vouchers.
What? Yeah, I understand that. Are you going to any of the Orioles caravans that got announced in our interview episodes?
Yeah,
but you're not up there anymore.
No, I forgot.
I keep thinking you're normally our coverage.
Yeah.
For the Orioles caravan.
Yeah, and I would go to the caravan. I went to the caravan a couple years ago when they were in Annapolis pre COVID, post Fan Fest. The caravan in Annapolis. And, you know, there was a great long line for Trey Mancini, but then there were short lines like for Ryan McKenna, you know, got Saz's first autograph from Ryan McKenna. Got to talk to him for a little bit.
Yeah.
I like it. It makes the players more approachable. It's smaller crowd.
I went and talked with Duquette at a caravan.
Yeah. They also did something, I forget what it was, at Camden Yards where I got my picture with Sigmund Dahl and Mike Elias.
It was like a Fan Fest type thing.
Yeah, but it wasn't Fan Fest. It was more like the caravan, but just on Utah Street, and it was rainy, so like no one was there. It was nice.
I do like that the caravan is a lot more, again, like everything else, just like the promotions, a whole lot more stops.
Yeah,
it's only 5 days, but it's 1, 2
hit up the Eastern Shore, which
five,
I appreciate.
6, 7, 8.
But Josh,
looks like 14 stops
compared to Fan Fest. And listen, it doesn't matter. We're not involved. We're not going to either. But compared to Fan, a lot of people still are clamoring that they wish they would bring back Fan Fest.
I think this might be better. Fan Fest has its place. And there's many things I like about FanFest. It's everyone in one location. FanFest is this, like, fan gathering, like, where, like, we'd go and we wouldn't necessarily see the players because we're not getting in line for the autographs, but we would see friends.
Sure.
And FanFest would be about seeing friends, and stuff.
A rather generous term for it. But yes, we would see our baseball Orioles associates. Sure.
Yeah, we would see acquaintances.
Sure, yeah.
Where I think FanFest lacked is FanFest became more and more vendor-centric and less giveaway-centric. FanFest used to be about the fans and giveaway, giveaway, giveaway. We showing your appreciation. And it turned more into... besides the talk, I love the talk. I love the Duquette and guys on stage talking.
Yeah,
I love that
part
of FanFest.
Yeah, that's the best part.
That's the best part. But if you walk around, it ended up being like restaurants and Utz potato chips and stuff giving things out.
Well, even like here's a used Orioles jersey for $120.
Exactly. Right. 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 It wasn't a deal. It wasn't family friendly. Where this has fun things. And they're going, I like that they're going to colleges. I like that if you want to pay more, you can go bowling and you can go do Top Golf with the Orioles. That's fine. That gets the people that have money, gets them out of there. Gets them out of there. And then you can still have these fan rally things, which are just fun.
Yeah, people are complaining about the bowling price. I think it was expensive with bowling.
I'm sure it was. Yeah. It was $90 a person.
Yeah.
But I get it. It includes food bowling. I get it. You're paying. Let's see. The guest for O's Bowling was Mike Elias, Heston Kerstead, Adley Rushman, Ramon Urias, and Terwin Vavra.
Yeah.
That's a. I mean, you get Adley and you get Mike, so no one's complaining.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always interesting to see how they pair people up. Like, who's the? It's kind of like a when you go to a concert and there's the headliner and then other guys they want you to get excited for, but you don't really care, like the cheap acts. And I think that's interesting to see how they've paired people.
Shots
up.
Fired at Kerstead and Vavra. Okay.
Well, you know, like at the York Expo Center, they have John Means with Dylan Tate. Who's bringing in the people? In session two, you've got Felix Bautista. He's a closer, but he does excite everyone with Dean Kremer.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see the who are at Top Golf. You're kind of pushing the golf angle too. So you get Brian Baker, Austin Hayes, Joey Crable, and Cedric Mullins. Not a great cast there.
Yeah.
But you also get to do golf.
Yeah.
So
is that the one in Baltimore? Is that open now, that Top Golf?
Apparently that one is. Right. It's in Baltimore, so I assume that means it's open.
Right,
I haven't been.
Yeah,
I haven't been up there in a while. I like the idea. I like the idea of maybe one of these trips where we're up in Baltimore going and playing Top Golf before a game. I love Top Golf.
Yeah, and maybe we'll just run into Cedric Mullins and play Top Golf with Cedric Mullins and not have to pay extra for it. Who knows?
Right, or maybe some 336ers. Maybe we do an event there and we just say, hey, everyone come play Top Golf with us.
Yeah, for $90 a person.
We will not charge $85 a person.
Maybe just $65.
We'll charge whether you can pay for your bay and we'll have our own bay.
Right.
And we'll see you there.
No, like
you can buy us food and beer.
The thing about FanFest, you're right. I really enjoyed being around all the diehard Oriole fans. Seeing
FanFest was like it's finally baseball season for a day.
Right. And that's the thing too, it was like happened in the middle of the off season. So it was like that one kind of taste of baseball to get you through the off season.
Was it the winter carnival that you went to?
What's that?
Winter Caravan? It was Winter Caravan,
yes.
Right?
Yes, that's what I went to at Utah Street. Yeah.
I like that because it was winter. It was cold.
It was raining.
I think it was even snowing a little bit or raining.
Yeah.
But it's baseball.
Yeah.
So I like it.
Yeah. I don't even know if there were any players there, but it was like Michael Isaac, Sigma Dell talking. I don't know if there were players. But
I put in a request for Michael Elias and Sigma Dell on the podcast.
Okay. What about John Angelos?
I did not ask John Angelos. I did ask who's the vice president?
The vice president?
Rosman.
Oh, yeah. Eve.
I asked for one of those three. Yeah. They said, we're busy right now. Ask us when spring training starts. So we'll see. I'm pushing.
Eve Rosenbaum.
I'm pushing.
Yeah, that's her. She's good.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. So whatever. I don't care. I'm not even living in Baltimore. I don't know why we talked about this for 20 minutes. I don't even care. But
because we're the voice of the fan.
Yeah. There you go.
Wait, isn't that 105.7 the fans slogan?
Yeah. Yeah, but after their interview with John Angelos and Mike Elias, I don't know if they can say they're the voice of the fan anymore when, you know, they won't ask any questions. You know,
oh,
John Angelos went on there and Mike Elias, and they didn't ask him about the Dan Connolly stuff. They didn't ask him about Show Me the Book. They didn't ask him about the lawsuit. They
nothing
didn't
hard. Nothing hard. It was suck up, suck up, suck up.
Why?
Because they're the partner.
They're not.
Because they're the partner station. Yes, they are.
No, it's WBAL.
Aren't games broadcast on 105.7?
No, there's WBAL.
Oh, what is it? All right. You're right. You're right. It is WBAL.
Yeah. It used to be 105.7.
I don't know why.
WBAL.
Yeah.
So why maybe is 105.7 sucking up?
Because that's what all these people do. Because they want to get invited in.
Because
like only Conley.
Because they're.
Like the Baltimore Sun won't ask real questions anymore. They're all sucking up.
Well, it's because, I mean, I think it's. I don't know what even show was on. But
because if they ask the hard questions,
radio hosts.
John Angelos will not come back, and John Angelos might limit who else goes back.
Yeah, but I mean, how often does John Angelos give interviews anyway? And yeah, they might limit, but I don't know. It just seems like this is more of a way to turn listeners off is to not ask. Is to just do a fluff piece, and they're not even. It's not even.
It was totally a fluff piece.
It's just weird to me.
But they don't. They it's sucking up. It's hey, let's give this great interview, this fluff piece, and then we'll have then that way you can send. It was Mike Elias was with Peter Angelos, so you don't want to upset Mike Elias. Yeah. Oh, John Angelos, sorry. I wish it was Peter Angelos. I told you my wish list for the year is for Peter Angelos to come to an Oriole game because I want to cheer him on, not because I'm against them.
So. Here are a couple quotes from John Angelos.
All right.
He said, quote, and this is the interview on 100% The Fan. He said, quote, I'd love to be sitting in New York with a $300 million payroll. You've got to build it like any small, medium, or large business. It's cyclical, and then you hope that you can continue to feed the cycle. And I think we'll be able to return to the top half of the league, John Angelos says.
It's crap. He can choose what his payroll is. He can tell them to not be a $30 million payroll. He doesn't need to go. We don't need $300 million. We want $120-130 million, and I'll be happy. Spend a little bit of money. That's all we're asking. He's out of touch.
Do you know what's also crap?
What's crap?
This happened in August of last year. Mike Elias said, just bringing this up, Mike Elias said, in kind of to add context to John Angelos' quote, Mike Elias said, quote, our plan for this offseason has always been to significantly escalate payroll. He goes on to say, I think a lot that's going to come through our own guys going to arbitration, but also we plan to explore free agency much more aggressively. We plan to maybe make some buy trades for some guys that are either on contracts or kind of in the tail end of their arbitration. The success has only cemented those plans. I'm really looking forward to the offseason and the kind of winter meeting environment where we're buying. I think it's going to be a lot of fun for our group and for the organization. Josh, they have a payroll projected to be about $63 million, which is about the same it was last year. There's been no significant escalation in payroll.
In 2017, the payroll was $164 million. So don't talk to me about how I wish I had a $300 million payroll. I don't need that. I need... not 60 million. I'm just asking for 120 million. I'm not even asking for what you paid in 2017. But make and spend money on a real veteran. It's extremely frustrating to say to try to talk down like, oh, we can't do 300 million. I wish we could. Nobody wants 300 million. We're not asking for that. So it's pretty irritating for him to do that. And yeah, our payroll went up a little bit this year because we made arbitration deals. That's it. That's the only thing. That raised it a slight bit.
Yeah, and even that, it's about what it was last year, so it's not even that significant. So
right.
I think this offseason, I think Mike Elias swung and missed. I mean, my only explanation could be Mike Elias swung and missed. I mean, his quote again.
But how?
From the interview.
What did he swing at and miss? Well, because it wasn't Carlos Correa, because he had multiple opportunities as things kept falling through, and that deal that the Twins got... we could have easily outdid that, and everyone would have been happy.
What? Well, here's what the quote said. He said, we had some, Michael Elias said in that same 105 interview that John Angelos was on, he said, we had some very close opportunities where it just went in a different direction. We've been talking to everybody. There's nothing imminent as of this afternoon, but the change is just sort of one text, one phone call sometimes. We really like our team. We see areas where we can get better, and we're trying to pursue those players, but there's competition out there. So Josh, he said he's had some close calls, just hasn't been able to kind of get it done.
Oh, yeah. I offered Carlos Correa $20 and a Wawa sub. He didn't want to come.
I mean, I only wanted Nathan Eovaldi. I wasn't even asking for all that much.
Right.
Eovaldi.
I'd like to see what those offers are. You want to be straightforward? Come out and be honest with it. Tell us when you open up the books, when Dan Connolly comes over to the warehouse and you open the books, share with him and let him publish the offer you made to Eovaldi, the offer you made to Correa. Let us know these offers that got turned down so then we as fans can understand. Because, hey, if you say, hey, we made this deal for this for Correa and he turned it down and you publish that, if that's not true, Scott Boras is coming out and calling you out. If it is true, you look great to the fan base as you tried. If it's crap, let us judge. Put your money out there. You want to open up the books? Show us the offers also.
Yeah. I mean, you can talk
about
that's
what I would say.
You can talk about arbitration.
I don't know why this upsets me so much. I think it's because I feel like he's going on this radio and doing a fluff interview and not really saying anything he's not saying anything.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I know like Santander did a contract for $7.5 million, good for him. But at the end of the day, our highest paid guy on the team right now is Kyle Gibson. At 1 year, $10 million. So, come on now. I think, and even if it wasn't that, Josh, we talked about other options. And we talked, listen, Mike, it's kind of, you know, you didn't get the right deal. It happens.
Make a trade.
Or where's my Adley Rutschman extension? Right? Like, put the money there then. Put the money into a long-term deal for Adley something.
That would make us all happy, yes.
But,
and I love, what is it, eight players in the top 100. We'll get to that. Love that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Like,
but that doesn't help us now.
Right. It's weird because we're critical in this sense. In the other sense, this organization has literally never been in a better spot.
True.
In terms of prospect and young players. We've never had so many players in the top 100. We're in a great position.
Fun predictions past couple of weeks from MLB.com and stuff saying, hey, the Orioles in the 2024 World Series or the 2025 World Series. That's all great, but if you spent a little money, you could be in the 2023 World Series. And if we want to win the World Series, we need to get there every year. Get us in the playoffs this year. A little bit of money would have pushed that in. I still think there's hope for this team to make the playoffs, but a little bit of money could have really made us a favorite going in and excited us.
Yeah, listen.
That's all I want.
It's impossible not to see so many names in. I mean, you look at any list. We got eight guys in there, and it changes a little bit whether you got Joey Ortiz in there or something. But every list has eight guys, and that it's so. And we have guys too. Of course, we have the number one overall, Gunnar Henderson, back to back number one guys. We have Jackson Holliday in the top 15, but outside of Jackson Holliday, a lot of the other top 100 guys are guys in AAA, close to major league ready.
Yeah, no, and that's exciting. I'm not going to say anything bad about that.
No, it's awesome.
But all right, but at least. He at least addressed like staying in Baltimore, and they've signed the extension for Camden Yards and stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Did you cover that? No. They didn't ask him about that at all. Did he address the lawsuit with the Nats and how that's holding us back? Meanwhile, the Nats are up for sale.
I'm sure that came up at some point. Like that.
Yeah. No, didn't ask any questions. Well, how about the Masson app? We all love the Masson app. Everybody wants to stream the Orioles without blackouts. Did he bring that up?
I'm sure he brought that up.
Actually, that came up briefly, and he said that it's complicated in cable bills and a bunch of fluff with nothing, no promises.
But
at least they finally put the family drama to bed.
Yeah, I'm sure.
No, they didn't even ask about that. They didn't bring up the books and Dan Connolly or any of that. It was
so
a
is
total
Dan Connolly
fluff.
Not going to see the books, Josh? Even after John Angelos said last week that this week he would open the books for Dan Connolly, is that not true?
I have not heard of a Dan Connolly interview. Let me check the Twitter. I have not checked. I have not received an invite yet.
Yeah, there's no.
I've got the plane running on the tarmac. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
But I have yet to receive the invite. Yeah, I don't know. You mean Dan Connolly didn't get the invite? What's today? Monday? When did that happen?
Sometime last week. Said this week he would.
This week. All right. Well, then maybe the invite's still coming. Maybe it's still coming.
You know, they're releasing a lot of lists now. A lot of lists are being out there. The MLB is kind of doing top prospects by position. I think we got the number two prospect as a right-handed pitcher. We got a top 10 prospect in D.L. Hall, left-handed pitcher. We got at third base, it was just announced today or yesterday that we got two players in Gunnar Henderson and also Kobe Mayo made the top 10 prospects in that position. According to Baseball America, which is, you know, a much respected, you know, prospect list, we got, you know, eight in the top 100. Gunnar Henderson at one, Grayson at six, Jackson at Holiday at 15. Three guys from one team in the top 15 is super impressive.
All right, that's good.
Colton Cowser, D.L. Hall, Jordan Westbrook, Connor Norby, and Joey Ortiz all in that top 100 list for Baseball America. And all of them except for Jackson Holiday could be in the majors this year. Like, they're all close to being major league ready or are major league ready right now. I mean, this team is going to be better. We made no significant upgrades in the offseason, and we're going to be a lot better. That's what happens when you draft well.
No, and that's great.
Yeah, that's
and I can't complain about that.
No, it's exciting. It's good stuff. I'm pumped about it. And you just hear people, like I was listening to Baseball America, a couple guys talking about Joey Ortiz, comparing him to Jeremy Pena with the Astros. And Joey Ortiz was on no one's radar a couple years ago. And now he's starting to get on everybody's radar. And that's, you talk about Jordan Westberg. Well, maybe we should talk about Joey Ortiz in the same breath. And it's going to be really interesting to see, I mean, all these middle infielders, Joey Ortiz, Norby, Westberg, Gunner, they're all infielders. Where are they going to put them all? There's not room for them all. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I know no trades have been made, and maybe you're going to wait till the deadline, but you can't go. I don't see how you go all year this year. Certainly not in the next year with this same group of guys, because there's just not room for everybody. So it's going to be
– no.
I mean, this is a good problem to have, that we have a lot of really good young players and not enough spots for them. So deals must be made. Deals must be made. It's just a matter of when.
Well, let's hope they do.
Yeah.
And do that at this point, I bet they're waiting until maybe July.
Yeah, it could be.
Maybe the trade deadline.
It could be. And maybe they feel like they can get a better deal there, better assess their needs. Like I said, there's some benefit.
I mean, I am not – opposed to Otani coming at the end of July. I'm okay with that.
Right.
I'll accept that.
All right.
But, yeah.
The final playoff push. All right.
Right.
I mean, I think part of the problem just with making trades at this point in the offseason, I mean, we just saw a lot of people talked about Pablo Lopez as a possibility from the Marlins. He was just traded to the Twins.
He's not
a possibility anymore, obviously. But, like, I think.
Again, a deal we could have done. Just putting it out there.
Yeah.
Who has more prospects, us or the Twins?
Yeah, well, they wanted major league talent. Like, they wanted, I think, probably like a Cedric Mullins type guy, because they got a major league hitter. They wanted to do
which I might be okay with.
Yeah, I would not have been okay with that. But I'm okay with trading prospects. I don't want to deplete areas of this team.
Well, I think the question is, how close are some of these prospects?
Right.
Are some of these prospects... We have a lot of outfield prospects. Are any of them going to be banging up on the door come spring training?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure yet.
In the top 100, we have one outfield prospect.
Okay. All right.
But I think one thing that makes trades hard is with the expanded playoffs. I mean, I think the majority of baseball teams think they have a chance to make the playoffs, right? I think there's very few teams that are like the Orioles were a couple years ago, where they live just like throwing the towel. I mean, there's very few teams. Maybe the Athletics, maybe the Pirates. But I think the majority of teams, even like the Royals and the Rangers and people who had down years last year, they think they're in it this year. And so they're not selling pieces. The Brewers aren't selling pieces. These other teams aren't selling pieces. Right. Hopefully by July, some of these teams will be sellers who are now not sellers. And so I think that's what
I don't know.
Gotta hope for.
That's where, again, the expanded makes it more difficult that in July there might be even more people that say, hey, we got a chance.
Yeah.
And isn't that, that's the whole point, is to make more buyers.
Right. Yeah. But now it just feels like everybody thinks. I mean, the Marlins think they're thinks they're buyers. Everybody in that division.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But we'll see. We'll see how this plays out. Certainly, Mike Elias is, I mean, he can't be happy with the upgrades he's made. This is not a successful offseason for Mike Elias so far.
No, that's why they got to extend Mike, extend Adley Rutschman. It's the only thing you can do.
I mean, he can do,
Who's got a better...
he can do nothing, and the Orioles would still be good, though.
Right, I guess so. But that's like saying the Ravens had a successful offseason because they fired their offensive coordinator. They still got all the talent. They're good.
Right, they're good.
Like, right. They got the talent. They didn't do anything to make themselves better, but they made one good move. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's frustrating because it only takes one little move. One move, and we get excited. And they haven't done a move.
Yeah, I know. But I think once game one starts, and once like we get, start clamoring for Colton Cowser and start clamoring for, you know, Grayson Rodriguez will hopefully already be there. But once you start seeing these guys, I mean, I'm more excited about Grayson Rodriguez than I would even be about Nathan Eovaldi, to be honest. Like, I want to watch Grayson Rodriguez. I think he'll be better than Nathan Eovaldi. And so I'm more excited about that. And so even though I'm disappointed with the offseason, I'm also kind of pumped to be able to see all these young players.
No, and I agree. I'm right there with you. That is true. That is true.
Now, this all assumes
and I
that
still
it
think
works out and they
will
win a bunch of games. If they don't.
Right. Right, and I still have hope that 2023 we're in this and we're starting out. But I think about last year, and I think about the difference this team did when Adley Rutschman was on this team. And Adley didn't come in June. And you think about, what if we had Adley at the beginning of the season?
We make the playoffs.
And I think I think the same way about this team, that what if we had one of these top of the pitchers at opening day? Like, Grayson Rodriguez, we're going to have him, but he's young. John Means, we're not going to get until maybe June. What if we had a John Means-like guy in this rotation from day one? Is that enough to push us into playoffs instead of competitive baseball in September?
Yeah. Oh, I have very little doubt this team won't make the playoffs. I think a top rotation arm,
but
we're playing for the division. I have very little doubt we're going to make the playoffs. But you're right. We talked about it before. The biggest flaw in this rotation is they have a ton of talent. Kyle Bradish can be really good.
Right.
Dean Kramer can be really good. Grayson Rodriguez can be really good. We have no one who has a track record to be a top arm, right? No one who has, for multiple years, has been at the top arm
to
in the rotation. And that's what this team needs.
That's the only thing I needed from this offseason was a top arm. And that top arm from opening day. All right, we might trade for the top arm in July. Great. But then we're back to playing the what-if game. What if we had him for the whole season?
Yeah, well,
that could be an extra 5-6 wins, which could give you that division.
Yeah. I mean, I think the two things on Michael Ashton's agenda, he hasn't done that yet, and it's getting too late to address it. And the other thing was the middle of the order bat. Our offense was average last year. Now, it got better with Adley, got better with Gunnar,
yeah,
but overall it was average. And
right,
Adam Frazier and James McCann is going to, you know, push you to an above average offense. We're still relying on Mountcastle and Santander to be the big run producers in the lineup. You're counting on Gunnar Henderson to do what he did last year, which I think is a big ask. And you count on Adley to again, match what he did last year, and no one to have a setback or sophomore slump. Again, these are
agreed
big asks. And even with all that, we still ended the year kind of middle of the road in our lineup. So I think there's also room for improvement for the bats. So this team is not flawless, but Mike Elias did not address these areas at all. We're just going to be the same team with the addition of these young players.
Right. Now, the same team that has a great back end and a great farm system and things to be excited
about. Yeah, and very close to making playoffs last year. And if Adley was there the whole year, if Gunnar was there the whole year, we would have made the playoffs. If Grayson,
right, but that's my problem.
Hurt,
I don't want to.
We would have maybe made the playoffs.
I don't want to play the what if game anymore. I just want to get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Yeah, because
I don't want what if anymore.
I mean, the other thing about the starting rotation, I mean, we were really healthy last year outside of John Means.
Yeah.
I know the Grayson Rodriguez thing and the Adley thing being here, but overall,
right,
we were pretty healthy. If you lose a couple guys, if let's say Grayson goes down and a Dean Kramer goes down, your rotation's screwed. So it's also like a lack of depth issue here with these positions as well, specifically with starting pitching.
Right. So. All right. Either way, I'm excited for this year. I know I get in this mode where I get irritated and it feels like I'm complaining about this team, when this team has a lot of hope and a lot of joy, and there's a whole lot to be excited about.
Oh, this team is going to be so much fun to watch. Gunnar Henderson, so much fun to watch. Grayson Rodriguez throwing to Adley Rutschman. That's going to be must-watch television right there. It's going to be – I mean, there used to be a time when you would just tune in for a Trey Mancini at bat, and then you could leave and go to the bathroom for three innings because you didn't care about anybody else. Right. Now it's like, I want to see Mateo bat. I want to see Gunnar bat. I want to see Adley bat. I want to see Cedric Mullins bat. I want to see Mountcastle bat. I want to see Kyle Stowers bat. Like, I want to see when it gets here, I want to see Colton Cowser bat. Like this lineup is just very entertaining, right? I want to see Grayson Rodriguez pitch. I want to see Kyle Bradish pitch. I'm going to see Felix Bautista pitch. There's just a lot of likable, entertaining, really talented players on this team, and it's gonna be a great year. We can get into the bold predictions if we get a little bit closer, but this is a Birdland full of more optimism, since the Manny Machado days, right? We have not been, I feel like, this optimistic about a team going into this year since the Manny Machado days.
Agreed. Everything about this team, there's things to be excited about. I finally am excited to go to road games. Like, I'm looking at the Boston series. I've been wanting to go to Fenway for a while.
Yeah.
But my thing has been, I don't want to go to Fenway to see an embarrassment.
Right.
And now it's like, we have Fenway. It's a weekend series. And I'm excited about this team. So that might be my trip. That might be my trip this year. Might be Boston.
Yeah. So. No, I agree. It's fun. And hopefully Boston stinks. So.
Right.
Win-win. All right. Do we get out of here?
Hey, let's do it. So much to talk about for a mid-January show.
Yeah.
Or late January. What are we? 3 weeks.
Yeah, we got
3 weeks for pitching.
We got through some stuff. We didn't even get to the international signings. Maybe we'll touch on that next week. A successful international signing period for the Orioles. A lot going right for the Orioles, despite, a nincompoop owner. A lot of stuff going right for the Orioles.
Correct.
All right, guys. You can follow all our hot takes on the Orioles and other news. Maybe Josh will, I don't know, put some Little League updates there on there too. Maybe he'll post some videos of some drills you're doing.
No. You have to come here for any of my Little League hot takes. I am not risking it, the parents being able to read something and take it out of context. They can take my own voice out of context.
All right. We'll see.
So,
Josh,
maybe
email may or may not be leaked by a parent. His emails may or may not be leaked by a parent.
I don't care. If you're a parent listening to this podcast, let me know. Give me a heads up.
Right. Yes, you wouldn't want to know that.
And tell someone that really likes the Orioles.
All right. The major league team, not the St. Augustine
Orioles.
We're
not going to be doing – right. Unless all the parents are listening, then we'll start doing a little update on
the St. Augustine Orioles, the baby birds.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. But, you can follow me at Section 336. You can follow Josh on Twitter.
At Josh Sirocca, and check out BirdlandSports.com and at Birdland Sports on Twitter. Working on new shirt designs that'll probably launch the first week in February to get you ready for spring training.
All right. Thanks for listening, boys and girls. And as always, go O's.
And go anyone.
Absolutely. Protect this house.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.